Okay, so we're middle of Perek Beis. Perek Beis, we're towards the beginning. Let's start. Let's just review. We'll run through the Pesukim. We're not going to go do all the Targum again, but we're really in the middle of a series. A series of Pesukim where Shlomo HaMelech is describing that he made a very great attempt to enjoy this world to the fullest degree. Whatever this world has to offer, he has taken advantage of. So let's see. Let's just run through the Pesukim again. Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet, Higdalti Ma'asoi, I made great my deeds. I outdid everyone that came before me. My Ma'asim, Ma'asoi, were Higdalti, were elevated above all others. For example, he goes on, we had a long list of examples, really in the middle of this. Banisli, Batim, I built Batim. Natatli, Kram, I built vineyards. I built homes, I planted vineyards. Asisli, Ganosu, Fardesim, gardens, orchards. The Natati Vohem Eitz called Peri, I planted in these gardens and orchards all different types of fruits. Asi Sili Berechois Moyim, I made for myself pools of water, Lahashkos Mehem, to water from them Yar Tsomeach Eitzim, I used these pools of water as a source of nourishment for a forest that was Tsomeach Eitzim, that brought forth, blossomed with all various types of trees. Konisi avodim ushvachos, I purchased slaves and maidservants of Nevayis. Hayuli, that simply means is that these avodim and shvachos were my bnei bayis, were servants for me. Gam nikne, I'll discuss a little bit later on. Gam nikne vavokar vatzon harbi hayuli, and nikne is cattle, vokar, or nikne. What's a good translation for nikne? Livestock. What?
Flocks.
Vokar vatson. Similarly, vokar vatson is an explanation, is a translation of mikne. What is mikne? Vokar, sheep. Vatsoi, vokar is a bokar, cattle. Vatson, sheep. Harbi hoyali mikola shahoyu lefonai bihushloim, more than anyone I had before me. Konisili gam kesef is a hov. I acquired silver and gold. Uskulas malachim of hamedinos. Now we didn't do this pasuk at all. And skulas means treasures. Treasures of kings, Malachim v'hamedinos. Now, what are medinos? We look in this. Look in the Mitsudas Tzion. He translates. He actually does not translate. Okay, what does the Mitsudas David say? Skulas Malachim Davar Nechmadim. Skulas things that are precious, like a segel. Masha Hamalachim Goinzim Ba'oitzar, things they put away in their treasure house. V'hamedinos. Now, what's medinos? And the Mitzvah Stav explains, Masha Koileles Hamedina Miginzas Miganezes Ba'oitzar Hamayuchel Luchol B'dei Hamedina. So it means treasures. The medinos, the treasures of the country. There are private treasures. And there are treasures of the country.
National
treasure. Mashekaleles Hamedina. The Kaleles Hamedina means the complete, the collection of coil. I'm really pronouncing it correctly. Shekaleles Hamedina Meganezes. This which the entirety of the nation puts away their national treasures. Ba'oitzar hamayuchod l'chol b'nei hamadina. Similarly, that's much greater than what a private person could put away. A private person is only that much you can put away in your storehouse. But the Medina is much more. Asisili, now I made for myself sarim v'sharois. Now this is really, really complicated what this means. So some say it means singers. It means male singers and female singers. So you'll say, "Woo, wow, this wouldn't get into the Flavish Jewish Journal, you know? We put in Cherim, Shlomo HaMelech." Well, he was put in Cherim, okay? This was the least of his problems. Okay, so it is something very interesting. Listen, you can't ignore this. It says here, I acquired sharim, male singers, sharos, female singers. What is this? Kol be'isha erva. So you want to say he was samech on the coolest? It was not live music. It was recorded music.
Maybe no, they all sang together.
Or it's us all together. You go to a graduation, right? I mean, he doesn't.
The choir.
I don't think.
We're upstairs behind the stage, and then you see them.
Nachum Siegel, he's now sitting Shiva Nachum Siegel, right?
Yes, yes.
So who's someone took over him? Probably one of his assistants.
Ferdig
is taking over, right? So his people took over. So he doesn't do this anymore. He used to do this years ago. He would put on the radio. He would put on the radio songs.
Who died?
What?
Died.
His mother died. Nachum Siegel's mother was Nifter on Shabbos, I think. So the Levi was yesterday. So he's sitting Shiva, Nachum Siegel. So he used to, years ago, if I'm not mistaken, he used to put on the morning tapes, melodies, songs that were sung by women. And today, the environment... What? He did? Or, I don't know, just the environment has changed. What? Women complain what? The women complain. It's like what's going on now with Trump. Who's the one that's defending? Who's defending Trump?
Oh, no.
The women are defending him. The women. They're the ones, yeah. Right, right, exactly, right. So make right, then it's mutter, but still today, you know, we live in such Baruch Hashem, such a firm world, at least in the open. Behind closed doors, I don't know. But at least in the open, there's a very, very religious environment where, you know, certain things are not accepted, they're not done anymore today. You know who they are.
Even if you see them, but you don't know
who they are. That's also what happened.
It was in Tzfas, and what's in Shomel, and Kalbach got up to think, and there were a bunch of Hebron guys in the audience, and they just turned around, and they listened, but with their backs to the stage.
Okay, so I don't know. It's something very... You can't ignore what it says here. That's what I want to point out. I don't have any answers. It's something very interesting there. It says over here, it's Chazal also, there were male singers, there were female singers, and we know there are many heterium, like you just said, you don't know who the people are. If they sing together. If it's through an echo, what does it mean in ancient times through an echo? Today it's technology, it's through a microphone, you're not really hearing them, you're hearing different sound. All these heterium, but it does say, you can't ignore the fact that it does say there's something called male singers and female singers. What exactly this means?
Said, yeah. For a choik,
yeah.
I'm gonna have susim and women, and I'm not afraid because
yeah.
I know the
yeah, but he's
so.
But Chazal never focused. They don't criticize him for this. They never criticize him for this. It's a very enlightening pasuk. Now we do know in the Gemara was we learned in Tanakh that it was very. It seems that at funerals, the Kainanites. So then you'll say that's not such a difficulty because at a funeral there's no Yetzirah, the mace.
Wow.
That's a very new thing, mechitza. Only 20 years ago, it was unheard of. Okay, it was unheard to have a mechitza at a funeral. Shomer Hadas did not have a mechitza. There was no mechitza. The old Shomer Hadas on Fort Hamilton. There was, you know, every funeral was there. That was the only place. Today, Baruch, the other, what? Jeffers. So Jeffers still doesn't have a mechitza, right?
Jeffers is gone.
It's gone.
It's gone. They leveled it.
Okay. So it was unheard of. They had a mechitza by like right next to people. A lot of people making that next to Chaim Berlin on Avenue M, where Midwood Chapels.
Right.
A lot of all the Chaim Berliners. They all. There's no mechitza there. There's no mechitza there.
It only takes one time and it changes the world. Remember, history is changed by one thing.
By one event.
It's then suddenly when one has it. Everyone has to have
Okay. But obviously, I think we found in the Gemara that at a funeral, women specialized in singing, in wailing. So wailing is also a melody. It's also a melody. So obviously, at a time of a funeral, this prohibition does not apply because there's no hearer at a time of funeral. So here as well. So obviously, saying Shomer Shabbos, maybe the women they sang with the men. Okay, but I just want to make that point. I told you, Mine Klei Zemer. You're right. Very good. Right. Nechanami. You're right. I apologize. You're right. I jumped the gun. There's much discussion. What does it mean, Shomer Shabbos? And Rashi says it means different types of musical instruments. You're right. We're not referring to male and female singers. We're referring to musical instruments. There are some are called Rashi. No, I wouldn't say that. Rashi is not shy. Rashi is honest.
I know from others because I thought you're not allowed to have music at all except at a chasna
or at
the base Hamikdash, but even the Ikar Hadin, you are allowed to speak. The Ikar Hadin, see, you have to know when the Takana came into play. In the Ikar Hadin, you are allowed to have musical instruments on Shabbos by Jews. The only reason why we today do not play musical instruments on Shabbos is because there's a Gezerah Derabbanan, the musical instrument may break, and then you'll come to fix it. And fixing it is a malacha de'oraisa. But playing the musical instrument is nothing. It's permitted. It's permitted midat Torah and even midat Rabbanon. It would be permitted. It's only because of the concern that it may break. And if it breaks, you may come to fix it. So when did that takana come into effect? When did that enactment come into effect? At a much later point in time. So here when it says, but also who says we're talking about Shabbos? Here he's talking about that he did this during the weekday. He had the musical instruments. Okay, let's just go further. V'sanu goes, delicacies, b'nei Adam, shidah v'shidos, all different types of delicacies of b'nei Adam that the human beings enjoy. Shidah v'shidos. So let's look at Rashi. Markavoy snoy, chariots. Beautiful cars. Like today you would have, I have my garage, what? A limousine, I have a Mercedes, I have a Sport, an SUV. Everything you can possibly want, Shlomo says, I tried them all. The American cars and the foreign cars. I tried them all. Shido, Vishidos, Merkavos, Noi, Eglois, Tsov, Eglois, wagons that some were carried. I mean, there were certain, most wagons in ancient times were exposed. You sit in a horse and buggy, there's nothing covering you from the elements. But if you're very wealthy, then Tsov, this is what Tsov means, it was covered. It's a private chariot.
Modern Hebrew, it's the word for a turtle.
A turtle, because a turtle is covered, the law shell. Different types of boxes. Excuse me, more. Okay, so let's the Mama Pasik, the Godalti, the Hoysafti, Nikola Shahoya Lufanaibi Ushalaim, Af Chokmosi Omdali. We'll stop with that Pasik, and Af, and even though I have exceeded more than all those that were before me in Yerushalayim, we mentioned this many times, and even those Blushan Rabbim, it refers not only to David, it refers to this. Rashi told us this insight that there were kings, when the Mitzudas told us this, that there were kings, non-Jewish kings, who lived in Yerushalayim before the time of David, the Yavusim, and they were very wealthy, very successful, and Shlomo says, I outdid them, and Af Chochmosi Omdali, but with all of this, all despite the fact that I lived it up, I had everything I can possibly want, I did not abandon what we've discussed in great detail in Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph is where Shlomo Melech focused only on Chochma. He was in his Spoidedus. He did not enjoy this world for a period of time in his life when he experimented. He completely isolated himself from the good of this world. No good food, no expensive no fancy palaces. He just focused on Chochma. And he came to a conclusion, Chochma is not going to make you happy. Chochma is going to bring Rayon Ruach, a broken spirit. If you're just going to sit the whole day in Kollel, and only going to focus on Chochma, you're not going to come away a happy person. There's more to life than just Chochma. So here he's now says, let me try to join the Chochma. Let me try, in addition to Chochma, let me also try to enjoy what this world has to offer. And we've gone through a long, long list of things. Now we're going to go through some of the ideas in Rashi and the Targum. We did some of that already, and the Mitzvot. Let's just go back. Let's go back. Let's just do maybe some of the Rashis. We'll do it for the Rashi. We normally do the Mitzvot first, but let's now do the Rashis first.
All these things he didn't acquire in war, right? People gave it back.
Well, we don't really know, not necessarily.
He went to war?
We don't really know. Not everything is recorded. We are, can't... What?
His time, his period, was one of the few times it was just peace throughout the whole...
That was, he achieved at a point in his life. But David, I mean, David's whole life was full of Muhammad. David, the Farshim pointed out that David spent most of his life fasting. David didn't know from all of these... Good food and delicacies. David did not enjoy life like Shlomo HaMelech. So at one point in time did things change? I don't know. Some people, they acquire their wealth through war. Some acquire their wealth because they're just good businessmen. And some acquire it through Inheritance. I mean, where did he? The years is a very good question. Where did he get all of the money? People just came and gave it to him.
Yeah.
He. Yeah. Gifts.
He was respected worldwide. And they came in and
tribute. In the modern world, it doesn't work like that. Maybe he's saying it does.
Think of a rebbe, one of the big rebbes.
Yeah.
The dynasty. Do you have any concept how much money comes in for a child's wedding? The people, each one wants to outdo the other.
They give gifts to the rebbe? When the rebbe marries off a child, they give gifts?
One of the biggest rebbes, the Tzatma rebbe, so... marries off a child. Do you have any concept how much money must come in?
Really? I'm not aware. Really?
Millions.
Gifts.
Of course. To put and on each that one, thing, it costs.
Okay.
The big ones want to get.
To drive them around.
You have to zechus, you have to pay.
Yes.
Okay, all right. It's okay. It's interesting. I'm not familiar. Okay, but so you're saying a chiddush that it all came to him through gifts. Let's see the Rashi's. Let's go through some of the Rashi's. Let's see pasuk. Let's start from pasuk. We're going to run through this. We did some of this before, but I really all mixed up. So let's just start from pasuk dalet. Okay, I want to get through all the Rashi's in the Targum by we have to finish all the Rashi's in the Targum. Let's just start review. Pasuk dalet. Higdalti ma'asai bimei gidul osi. Okay, during the days of my greatness, and Rashi always comes back to this. Rashi is almost obsessed with this, that Shlomo HaMelech did not have a stable life. Part of his life he was successful, and then he was deposed. He was deposed by Ashmedai, and then he made a comeback. So Rashi is always coming back to this idea that Shlomo's Malchus was not consistent from beginning to end. So he says, Tigdalti Masoi, what?
You know, sometimes somebody has to live in the shadow of his father. His father was a Godel, a great one, seriously. And he has to live in the shadow of his father.
Bavur David Avdecha, he definitely did. When the highlight of his life was the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And when they had the inauguration, the ceremony, and they brought in the Aron, didn't the doors refuse to open? Miraculously, they were glued shut until they said Bavur David. First, he said, "What was it?" It says, "V'yavo Melech Hakavod," and the doors accused Shlomo of that he was calling himself the Melech Hakavod. The doors Chazal wanted to swallow him up. Meaning there was some type of miracle, there was a danger. His life was in danger. And then he had to explain himself. Mi hu zeh melech hakavod? I'm not referring to myself. Hashem tzivaka yisu melech hakavod itself. Hashem is the king. But even that did not work. It only opened up when he said, Ba'avur David avdecha al tashev v'nei m'sheikhecha. So when the day was over, you're right, the highlight of his life was not in his merit, it was in the merit of David. And this was a public event. So you're right, to some degree, he definitely lived in the shadow of his father. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, let's see Rashi again. Rashi Pasuk.
Say that he came back the second time.
Yeah. No, it was not the same. It was not, when he came back after Ashmedai, he succeeded, but it was not the same. That's what we had learned before. He did not, he was not restored to his original state. It was diminished. His greatness was severely diminished even when he made it come back. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Galah, we did some of these last time, let's review. Bimei Gidu Losi, during the good days, my life was not always good, but during the time that I was successful, I conquered the world. Eitz Kol Perish Shal Yibashomach, we did this last time, in Makeh B'chachmosa, Kishol Gidigid, as Gidei Haaretz, Eze Gidhalech, Kush V'nota, by Palpul, we discussed this, that Eretz Yisrael is the Shurish, a Bracha to the entire world. You just have to know where in Eretz Yisrael, where the channels are, where the sinews are. He planted peppers. So Eze Halech Leretz Charuvin, V'nota by Charuvin, which sinew of the land channels down to the land of the Caribs, and he planted in that piece of land the very Shul Caribs. She called Gidei Haaretzos Boim Litzion Shemisham Mashtisoy Shalom. From there, Tzion is where the earth expands. Chazal tell us when Hashem created the world started in the center, and the center was Eretz Yisrael, and from there it spread throughout the entire world. The earth expanded. It's the center of the world. That's only according to one opinion in the Gemara. The other thing the Gemara says that the world, Eretz Yisrael, was not the center. It was, there's another opinion, but the Rashi is taking this opinion that it's the center of the world. the eye of the universe. Shenemar mitzion nichlal yoif. Tzion is kilal kal, means the perfection. Everything in the world is rooted, every baracha in the world is rooted in Eretz Yisrael. There is nothing that can be produced in a part of the world that cannot be produced in Eretz Yisrael. You just have to know where. If you find there's a product that they produce in Alaska, and the scientists will tell you there's no way in the world you can have this product in Eretz Yisrael, you make a mistake. If it exists in Alaska, it exists in Eretz Yisrael even better, because Alaska is only the shirish of Alaska is rooted in Eretz Yisrael. In America, what? You got to find out where. There's no tobacco in Eretz Yisrael?
Never heard of it.
But Chazal say it has to be. If, oh, they sure do. What? Okay, so we don't. Okay, obviously, this is a challenge to us. You're right, it's a very good question. You know, potatoes, right? There are a lot of things. Scientists will tell you that there are a lot of things.
Discovered Eretz Yisrael, right?
I understand, obviously, but Chazal are telling us this principle. We have to believe in Amunas Chachamim. Chazal have a drasha Klilas. It's Mitzion Michlal Yoifi. Chlal means Lashon of Koil, the perfection of beauty. Every single thing that exists in this world is rooted in Eretz Yisrael. You just have to know where to go. Well, there is such a thing that there are many climates. Eretz Yisrael, they say that it is very unique. Even scientists acknowledge in Eretz Yisrael, you can travel 20 minutes, you can go from a climate in North America to go from one climate to another. You'll have to travel by plane at least 2-3 hours to go from cross country to the mountains, to the valleys. In Eretz Yisrael, you just go in a car for 20 minutes, you can already change regions to a very, very great degree. I mean, that's acknowledged as a fact. Other things you're telling me, tobacco, potatoes, and all these other exotic things that we have yet to understand and to discover where we can bring these things out. But that's why it says Eitz Peri. That's why it says here in this pasuk Eitz Peri, meaning that the Eitz Kol Peri, that in the Eretz Yisrael can be found the fruit of every type of tree. Next Rashi, Bibin Hashem Chuma.
There was no avatir. They meant they were not potatoes.
That's not avatir, it's a potato? I don't think avatir is a potato.
They were missing potatoes. They didn't have tobacco.
Right, they didn't have tobacco.
When was tobacco invented? What year? When was it discovered?
The exposition. Everything came from the North and South America. When Columbus came,
yeah,
he brought a lot of presents, and he took a lot of presents.
So they first began to smoke in the 15th century?
And he brought a lot of things back.
The 16th century, that's
tomatoes,
when it started?
Tomatoes.
Nicotine?
Yeah,
corn.
Tobacco.
Okay, but let's go. Pasuk Vav. I want to finish all of these Rashis and the Metsudos and Targum. Berechos Mayim. Okay, we didn't do this. Kemin biborim shel dogim shechoyfim bekarkam. We did. The bibor means the pools. Pools of water that you dig in the ground. Okay, pools of water that you dig in the ground. Is skulas malachim. Next Rashi, pasuk ches. What's skulas malachim? Ginze malachim, the treasures of kings. Lashon of segel. Segel means a treasure. What are they? Zav, Chesef, Evan Yukara, precious stone, Shamalachim, Misaglim, Begin Zehem, they put away in their treasure houses. The Hamadinos, so over here the Rashi is learning not like the Mitsudos, it means Segulas Kol Soichrim. It seems that he's learning just the opposite as the Mitsudos. We'll see them so soon, is that the Malachim is like the national treasures, and the Hamadinos, Loshon of a Midyani. What's a Midyani? So we translate it normally as a nation of Midian, but Midyani also means like a merchant, just like what's a Kanani?
A Kanan,
but Midyani is also, that's what it means over here, the Hamidinos. Midinos, like from the nation of Modai. Modai, or Midyan, Segulas Kol Soicharim. Rashi seems to hold that the word a nation, Midian and Modai, are very similar in meaning to Kenani. Canaani was very well acknowledged, means merchants. Eretz Yisrael in ancient times was the center of commerce. Midonim. So you have to midon, midonim is not necessarily the same as the midyonim.
Midonim is din, like
judgment. Vahamidonim, Mochrel Sol, if I'm not mistaken, it says Vahamidonim. It's a different, it's not necessarily the nation of Midian. Vahamidonim. They're also so they're all different types of merchants. Okay, I don't know the exact, but it seems from Rashi, I don't know, but also, this will stick to my mind. I don't remember, but it seems that there's also there's a discussion what is the shoresh of the word Midonim.
It could be amount.
Measurement. Amount. Measurement. People that specialize. People that specialize in measurements.
A little of everything.
We specialize in measurements. You want a pound of this, a quarter of a pound of this, and so on and so forth. And that could very well be why that nation, we have multiple candidates. There's Midian. There's Modai Paras, Modai. Modai is not the same. Media is not the same as Midian.
And
and there's,
but there's a reason given why they call it.
And then there's Midonim, which is also a different nation. Okay, and all of these have the same shoresh, why they all were involved in commerce. They all were world centers or experts in, like you want to suggest, of measurements. Okay, and that's seemingly what Rashi here wants to suggest, treasures of Soicharim. Okay, the black market. The black market of exotic, I don't say black market, but whatever.
The merchants,
you know, there's a market among the merchants themselves. There's a market, the public market, right? Everything is on the books. Everything is legal. Then there's, you know, the basement business. Among the merchants in the basement, you can negotiate a deal.
Underground
economy. Is that what it means over here? That's what it says. Segulas Melachim. And then it says there's another economy. There's the economy called Vahamidyonos, Segulas, called Soicharim. Okay, the merchants. Well, you're not going to acknowledge in America there's an underground economy, and all the illegal immigrants, they are supporting this underground economy which the government desperately needs.
And this is probably a richer economy than the king.
Then the king, it's right. And the king, well, you know, the king knows about it, he needs it, he lives off it also. It's a very complicated world. It's very complicated. We all know that. Okay, Shadim the Sharos Rashi we learned before. He translates it means meaning called zero means all different types of musical instruments. Shida v'shidais. Can we discuss the shida v'shidais? It means merkavos noy agolosov loshon talmud yeshida v'teva migdal. The pasuk tes av chochmasi gam chochmasi lo hanachti b'shvil kol hamasim oyla. I did not abandon my chochma just because I was preoccupied in acquiring all of this wealth. The amdali v'loy shechachtia. It stayed with me, and I did not forget my chachma dover acher amdali le'ezra mikol eila. It supported me in all these. So, two fascinating interpretations. First of all, what Rashi, the Rashi's interpretation today is mamish a dover shalay nimsa, that you can be involved in the business world and be a multi-billionaire and also be a talmud chacham. That's extremely rare. It's very, very hard. Ketoyra ugedula b'mokay mechad. What?
I think that's not true. I think person who Hashem rewards that way. I mean, I could think of just an example. Dahlia Weinberg, who had a big computer company, multi-million.
He's a big Talmud Chacham.
But in Talmud Chacham.
Daf Yomi, yeah.
And,
okay, it's rare, few rare. And far in between.
I remember my son went out with a girl, and she wanted, basically, she wanted a Talmud Chacham, let's say, from Lakewood, but also to become a doctor. That one you're not getting.
That was once.
Could be once, but you're not going to get it often. You know?
Today you're not.
No.
Okay, it's a very if a person is busy the whole day accumulating wealth, it's not easy to have the yishuv hadas. Forget about if you have the time. Let's say you people, you know, people are very successful. You're very successful. How much time do they actually spend? You ask these people how much you actually spend in your successful. They'll tell you, you know, not all that much time. You'll be surprised how little time they're actually involved in closing the deals. But you spend the whole day thinking about it. Okay, that is a reality. And if you don't spend the whole day thinking about it, you're not going to be closing those multi-billion-dollar deals.
Many of the tanaim were very wealthy.
Not all. Our papa was very wealthy. Our papa was very wealthy. They were workers. All the Tannaim.
Hundreds of thousands of livestock.
Okay, very rare. There were very few. Most. They all had jobs. They all were. They were employed. But they weren't. They were very few. Of them were very wealthy. They were a handful. The Gemara, I don't remember all the different. A few yechidim. But they all worked. They all had jobs, and this is what they did. They made a parnas, and then they spent their free time. They spent their free time learning and accomplishing. But people who are extremely successful, you see their pre. I know of a person that he used to learn with one of the big Rosh Yeshiva. One of his big Rosh Yeshivas, he used to learn with him because, you know, he needed his support. So he spent time every day, you know, learning with him for, half an hour, 45 minutes. They had a seder, he would come in. But I know from someone in his family said that when he was sitting and learning with him, his cell phone would vibrate. And he knew when it vibrated what it meant. It meant like, okay, the deal is on. And we're talking millions of dollars. And he told me about his relative is that like when he was learning with this Rosh Hashiva, his mind was elsewhere. Because like his mind was spinning. And to be successful, that's what it's all about.
Focus, and it's very hard to be focused.
Right. It's extremely weird. These people, they have a gift. Money just comes to them, so then they don't have to do anything, whatever. But generally, it's extremely. Over here, Shlomo Melech says something amazing. He says, I was busy in Konasti. See, one thing you want to say that your person, you know, he won the lottery. Oh, wow, he won the lottery. So you won. All of a sudden, $10 million falls into your hands, and now you love to learn. You have a mind. You have a cheshek to learn. So you tell Mechachem, and you're very, very wealthy also. But here, Shlomo is saying about himself, Konasti. Look at Pasuk Ches. Konasti gam kesev ezov. And the Pasuk says, Vigod Pasuk Tes, Vigodalti Vihoisafti. And Pasuk Vav, Osisli Brechasmai, Pasuk Zain, Konisi, Pasuk Dalit, Higdalti, Pasuk Osisi. There's so many verbs. The impression that you get from these Pasukim is, I didn't inherit this wealth. It took a lot of effort. You know what it involves? Everyone he knows. Just to go and get a plumber to come and fix, to put in a new vanity, to put in a new tiles. You have to plan and this, the tiles and this tile and that tile. Over nothing, narishkeit. You know how much effort and toil goes into those simple little things? And here Shlomo Melech is saying, I'm very busy the whole day. Konasti, vigodalti. I'm a busy person accumulating, making an empire. Who has time? Who has space left over in his mind where you can sit and focus on a Dvar Chochmah to go to a Daf Yomi for an hour? And let alone be the Chochmah Mikol HaAdam. This is one of a kind. He says here, and there's something astonishing in this Pasuk Tes, that I mean, we can't underestimate or not appreciate these words. Af chokhmosi amdali. With all of this, it didn't make a dent. I mean, this is remarkable. It's remarkable to be able to be busy, to be fully immersed in accumulating wealth, and yet to say, all of my chokhmah stayed with me. I'm the same Talmud chokhmah I was before. Astonishing. Astonishing even to say it, to say such a thing. That's what it says. Okay, I just want to bring out that point. Okay, let's see if we the Rashi. It stayed with me, I did not forget my learning. Then he has Dover Acher, Omdali. Omdali has been used here in a new context. It means I used my chachma. What do you think? I just accumulated wealth like that. It was easy. Everyone just came and gave me a gift. I had to know how to work the craft. I had to know how to, you know, to bring the money in to be a successful fundraiser. Omdali le'ezra mikol eile. It stood as a support mikol eile to accomplish all of these things. You got to know how to be a successful fundraiser. It's not just enough to be a big Talmud Chacham. You go look for different roles in leadership, big positions in Jewish institutions. You know, they're always looking. That is really the challenge today, to find what does an institution need. They want someone to be the face of the institution. and you want to have a scholar, Talmud Chacham, or a Shemayim, but you also need him to be pragmatic, to bring in the money. And if you have someone that's a very big Talmud Chacham but doesn't know how to do fundraising, you know you're in a lot of trouble. Here he used his Chachma as a means to pay the bills.
He says he learned how to raise funds in Miami when he was a rabbi from a schnorrer who came in. He saw the techniques of schnorrer, he was persistency and all that. He says, "Him I learned."
It's a personality, it's not for everyone. It's a real, it's a gift to be able.
Fundraisers.
It's an incredible gift to know, there's no question about it, to be a fundraiser with dignity, to be able to succeed in raising money with not being perceived as a schnorrer, as a, you know, a nudnik.
But that's usually if you have the money.
Well, not always. Right. If it's one thing, if you have $1 billion and you go over to your friend and you say, you know, I'm giving $1 million. How much are you giving? Oh, I'll give you $500,000. If I go and I say, sir, I'm giving $10. Will you give him $500,000? Get out of here, you meshuggah. If you have the money and you make that statement, right.
James came out and he gave money.
Half of my wealth, right.
And he got
exactly. Absolutely. So if you have the money, that definitely hints. But what's so amazing is there are people out there who don't have that money, and yet they're able to raise enormous amounts of money in a very dignified way. You know, I think of he should be well, or by Dr. Norman Lamb, head of YU. He's not known to be a multimillionaire.
He had the position behind him, but
there's something to himself also, to his personality, to who he was, and he took YU out of bankruptcy in the 80s to make it when he left. I mean, when he left YU, now they're in a lot of trouble. But when he left YU, it was very sound institution, and he raised the money with enormous dignity, and he was not a Bill Gates. So you see, it's an incredible talent that yechidim, very few yechidim, can use their chokhmah to do.
In the position.
But it's not always so, because there are people today that are in very powerful positions of representing very large institutions, and they don't have and they don't have the right personality.
I was going to tell you a story you remember Clay Helmer?
No.
Yeah.
They wrote the movie.
The greatest miracles that they said that he jumped off or whatever, and they shot him. His body came ashore without being eaten up by fish. Amazing. And to prove that it really happened that way. What's amazing about Klinghoffer was everyone thought that he was on that boat trip because he was so sick with his wife.
Uh-huh.
She was dying of cancer. And a friend of mine's wife, her mother, got to bed after she died, right soon after that episode. What's also amazing is, not Trum, but he gave a room in either Philadelphia or Lakewood, one of the big yeshivas, has a room named for him, not because afterwards, he gave money beforehand.
Okay.
It's amazing how you can get Frum people to get non-Frum to give, because some of the biggest institutions were built on non-Frum money.
Michael Steinhardt.
There's a story where Wine was a chauffeur in Punovich
Rebbe was one of the greatest fundraisers ever. That's another example. A person didn't have a penny to his name, and he raised billions of dollars. Not billions, but... What position? Punovich wasn't anything special.
It became.
Oh, he built it up. But when he started, it was nothing. It was nothing of nothing.
You don't have that name behind you, then people don't want to give.
But he didn't really have much to begin with. From Punovich Rav, I mean, it's really a great example. Like a person who
tells a story the other way. Kahneman went father, one of the very successful in Miami, would give a lot of money when he came. Father died, and the son took over. The son, so they went in and refused to give anything. He said, "I don't want to give." Punovich Rav started to cry. Sort of wine didn't understand. He says, "So, Rebbe, we won't get it from this guy. We'll get it from somebody else." says, you don't understand, I'm not crying because of him. I'm crying because this person now...
Losing the schus. No connection to Yiddishkeit.
Yes. To
Yiddishkeit. Yeah, I remember that story. Yeah, I know that story. Yeah. Look, the Chofetz Chaim had a technique which worked for him but doesn't work for many people. You have to be a Chofetz Chaim for it to work. When you tell a person, I'm coming to ask you for money, not because I want your money, I'm coming to give you a zuchus. Mm-hmm. I'm doing you the favor. Let's not make any mistake about that. I'm doing you the favor. Now, if you're the Chofetz Chaim, it works. Many have tried. You go try doing that today. Some people try to do this. It doesn't work too well. Why? Because you're not the Chofetz Chaim. If you are the real Chofetz Chaim, then obviously it works. Look at Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin, you know, the latter part of his life, that's what he did most of the time. He was the fundraiser for Ezra's Torah. Ezra's Torah, that's what he did most of the time. He did, and Rav Henkin, though, his Piskei Halach, he was the Pesek Hadar. He, before Rav Moshe, he was Mamish, the Pesek Hadar. And what was he involved in the whole day? Fundraising, to support poor people. And it's a remarkable thing. All right, but here Shlomo Melech says that in second interpretation, I use my chokhmah to acquire, to accumulate wealth. Okay, now let's see the tzudos. Let's run through them very quickly. Let's go back to Pasuk. Let's see, Pasuk Dalid. Okay, we run through very quickly. Dalti ma'asoy ratzolay ma'akeno sisi v'achasti b'shloshtan. I took hold of all three. I think we did this. Ki asisi masim gedolim umufloim. I did wondrous things. The chayz mefaresh. What are the wondrous things that I did? He goes now to explain. Number one is bonisli batim rabim unatati likram rab. I built homes. I planted vineyards. Eitz kol peri ilonos mikol mini peri vav lahashkos leman hashkos meelu habrechsum its pools es hayar. The forest, hamatzmiach ilon israk, which are producing non-bearing fruit trees. Leman yu anof of ranonim, why? Because these trees, they specialize in shade. A tree that does not produce fruit typically has very thick leaves, which produce shade. Ugedoylim hanechmodim le'in haroi, that's pleasant to the eyes. Ubnei bayis, heim hamunim al tzorchei habayis, lehashkiach bedover hatzorch, to pay attention to what things that I need. For lo yasim lochol ke'evet of shivcha. So Mitzudas translates here, there are two different types of servants. There are avodim u'shvachos. They do labor. They do the hard labor. They clean the pots. They mop the floors. They do the hard. Then there are administrators. U'bnei bayis. They wear suits. They sit behind a desk. And they are the administrators. So I had both. I had administrators and I had people that actually did the labor. Yasim loch ever v'shifchei. Next, mitzudos. Mikol shohanyu yoyser mikol hamalachim shol shemolcha lefanayim yushalayim v'almalchim ha'goyim yomu k'chomoy shechasavti l'mala. Even the kings that existed in Yushalayim before me, before David. Konasti li osavti liatzim v'skulas malachim d'var manachmodim ma'ash hamalachim goyim zim b'oitzer. That we learned before. V'hamedinos ma'ash koyleles hamedina meganezes b'oitzer ha'miyuchel l'chom b'nehamedina. So he teaches Medinos, not like Rashi, not as a merchant, but as the word Medina, national treasures. V'tanu goes, t'varam ha'nechmodim ma'ashav nev adam mis'an gimohem, delicacies, shida v'shedois. So what does that mean? So we learn, remember, Rashi said it means chariots and wagons. He translates in Rosalemar, achas miyuchedes mikol mide yoifi, v'oid merkavos rabos. So shida means something unique, a limited edition of a Cadillac, a one of a kind. That's a shida. It's a box. A box here means a chariot, one of a kind. And in addition, shidois. Shidois is b'loshen rabim, other types of chariots which are not limited, but they're very exquisite. V'yod merkavos rabos. Pasuk tes, v'godalti, v'yosisi masim gedolim ha'umufloim, wondrous things. B'tay sefes meruba, with abundance. Yoyser mikol ha'mlochem shemolchu lefanay b'yushalayim. Av chochmos yomdali, afilu ha'yisi yoyser mchol ilah ha'dvarim. Im kol zeh. Af chachmas in the sky mabi v'loy shechachtiyam ba'avur marbis hatirdois b'inyanim michulafim. Despite the fact that I was extremely busy with all of this business, all of these matters that passed before me, things that michulafim, which changed over, obviously whatever this expression, which means I was very busy, still I remained a Talmud Chacham. I always was able to keep my mind in the right place. Okay, just a few things before we see the Targum, just a few things I want to point out. It's a very nice idea in Pasuk Zayin, Konisi Avodim Ushvachos, I acquired Avodim Ushvachos. Now, are they Jewish? Are Avodim and Shvachos Jewish? So some maybe yes, some not. There's an Eved Kanani, which he put into Mikvah. Eved Kanani. Okay, in a Chanani. So it means they're Mekayim, they're Chayiv in Mitzvahs Keisha. They're not, to what degree are they Jewish? They're L'chor, they're fully Jewish, but they're not 100%. An Eved Kanani, a Shivcha Kananis, is in transition. Right? Originally they were Goyim, and now they're slaves, so they're mechuyev to be mekayim the mitzvot keisha. Are they full-fledged Jews? That's a discussion among the achrayim. What exactly is the status of a shivcha? But they're not 100%. Then it says ubnei bayis hoylis. I think I saw this in the Sarasi Bamedinos. Very nice what he says. But in my own private quarters, and this is very interesting today. Today this is something we have to deal with in this generation, where both parents work. And it always hits home to me in yeshivas and in shuls, who does all of the cleaning and all of the prep, all of the work. But in my own bias, then it's a drush, so you know it's not necessarily the pshat. I acquire avodim ushvachos. Where did the slaves, where they work? They worked in the field, they worked in China, they worked in third world countries, they accumulated all my wealth. But in my own bias, I had ubnei bayis hoyali, meaning there was to me only Jews. The people who worked in my home, who mopped the floor in my home, I would not allow a non-Jew. The nanny was a Shomer Torah Mitzvos, was the Beis Yaakov girl. That's what I'm saying. I had avodim ushvachos, and I also had. But uvnei bayis, according to this interpretation, is not the same. And that's what exactly the Mitzvah really says also. He says, I had avodim shvachos, and I also had bnei bayis. Don't think that avodim shvachos were the bnei bayis. The Mitzvah says, the avodim shvachos, they worked in the field. And in my home, and I also had administrators. So the Mitzvah himself breaks up the two different classes of people. Jewish workers versus non-Jewish workers. But in the Sarasi Bamedinos, he goes further, it says the Jewish workers were the Bnei Bayis. They worked in my home.
Is that what a Ben Bayis by the speaker?
No, that's more of a shimush. I mean also, like, for example, I was once in the yeshiva. The yeshivas I've gone to, not all of them, some of them, who mops the floors?
Jose.
Who's the one that sets up? This is very disturbing. Who's the one that sets up the tablecloths for Shabbos in the Beis Medrash?
Jimmy.
A guy. Who puts the tablecloths down on Shabbos? When Shabbos is over, who comes and cleans up and takes away the tablecloths and sets up the chairs for the next morning and makes everything nice? You have goyim. Is that a milo? Don't you think it would be nicer if the people in the shul themselves, the members of the shul themselves, would do the work? Not that they would save the shul $5. Not if you would come Erev Shabbos, the people would themselves would come Erev Shabbos and set up the tables and chairs. And when Shabbos is over, clean up from Shal Shulis and put away the Siddur. There are some shuls, you wouldn't believe this, but I know this is a fact. They even have Goyim, they even to put away the Svarim. It's no big deal. On every sefer there's a number, so you train the guy. You train the guy. You know, everything is numbered. You put away all the svarim. Okay, most yeshivas still, you know, they have bachim, but the bachim only have to get paid. You know, you have to be paid top dollar. I'm not going to put away the svarim for free. When I was growing up, not so long ago, you know, you didn't get paid to put away the svarim. It was expected of you. It was expected. You learn in the yeshiva, so you volunteer. Who's going to volunteer when yeshiva is over to put away the svarim? What?
Put away the
svarim. Exactly. Became a certain attitude where it's beneath me to put away the svarim. It's beneath me to go and to set up the tables and chairs, to put on the tablecloths. We have goyim who do this. I was once in a yeshiva on Shabbos, and davening was over, and it was a kiddush. And at the kiddush, who was the one that set up the tables and put out, and with the waiters who brought out the food and did everything? It was the bacham and the yeshiva. They themselves. So I was sitting there by the dais, not the dais, I was sitting there near the dais, and there was a very big Rosh Hashiva sitting there. And he says to me, you know what we're missing? He says to me, in our yeshiva, because I used to learn in that yeshiva. You know what we're missing in our yeshiva? This is exactly what we're missing. In our yeshiva, would you ever see one of our bachim go and be the waiter? What?
Bachim needs money, Dave.
That's another thing. Another thing of money, absolutely. Parnasa. Today, you know, Amcha Yitzchok and Parnasa. So, if there's money to be given away, so why go give it away to Goyim when from people want to do the job? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where money is never an issue. But let's make money. He said to me, and it's like he really hit the nail on. He says, and that's the problem we're missing in our yeshiva. He says, will you ever see one of my bachim go and be a waiter for the kiddush? And he says, not saying it's because when the bachim themselves are the waiters, there's a certain chevra. It's like ish esriyeu yoyim achazak. Everyone is, we're all together. We have the davening is over. We have a kiddush. Oh, let's all sit down and eat together. Yeah, here's the cholent. Here's the cake. Here's the tindikongol. There's a certain chevra. You're all part of a community. And when you sit down, davening is over. Everyone just sits down. Okay. Serve me. I'm a guest here. You, there's a distance. You're you, I'm myself, and there's going to be a servant. And when it's over, goodbye, good Shabbos, I'll see you tomorrow. There's no loyalty. There's no loyalty. You don't feel like you belong. This year I learn in this yeshiva, and next year I learn another yeshiva, and the year after I go another yeshiva, and I'll never even remember I ever spent time in this place. If you go on Erev Shabbos, you set up the tables for Shabbos, guarantee you're not going to another yeshiva so fast. You're not going to run and jump ships, and you're going to serve. You're invested in this, not just in the learning, but in parting part of the makom. Yeah.
It's taught in the adults. They don't call these people workers. They call them goyim, or they call them Francis.
That's another problem. That's a separate issue.
It's beneath you. They shouldn't say that. They should just call them workers. You call them words that we take to
right. Derogatory terms. Okay, that's a separate issue. That's a separate. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about an attitude where
all these people, then it's
a zuchus. To participate in your shul. And now, not everything, though, not you can't go ask an 80-year-old man to mop the floors, obviously. But to some degree, to feel that you're invested in a makom, it greatly enhances your loyalty or your connection to a makom. And that's exactly what it says here in this pasuk, according to the Sraci Amadinos. Shlomo says, I had Avodim Ushvachus, I had slaves, real slaves. Who says they were even Jewish? You know where they were? They were in China, they were in who knows where they were manufacturing, North Korea, South Korea, who knows where they were manufacturing things for me. And they were in India, what?
We're doing the iPhones.
Right? iPhones, you see those videos, they look like it's pathetic, it's a horror. And what goes on with exploitation that we're all guilty of. But in my own bias, in my own palace, what, you think I had a non-Jew? I had only my own Vnei Bayis Hoyuli. My own people, my own Bnei Yisrael, they were the only ones allowed in my palace even to do the simplest things possible, because that's the type of environment I want in my close quarters. Yeah.
You may not be the Gael of Meisel, but the Rosh Yeshiva who was complaining about the fact that
yeah.
Yeah. There's a famous expression, I don't know if we should say it or not, about a smelly fish.
No, I don't know this.
Everybody knows it.
You smell the fish, you eat the fish.
No, a fish stinks from the head up. had that. So maybe the yeshiva, without attacking anyone, should be more diligent.
Yeah. This, when I say Rosh Shiva, this person was on like, everyone today is called a Rosh Shiva. This person was like the bottom rung of the hierarchy of a... Okay, yeah.
You see a mismeasure, and there's a sign in the mismeasure says from Chaim Kanevsky, that whoever doesn't return a safe he took out is a ganav.
You don't need Rav Chaim Kanievsky for that.
They said,
you don't need Rav Chaim Kanievsky for that.
Wait a second. On the shul, there's a sign. The Rav has a pile of scorum on his table.
All right, we're not looking here to criticize.
At the end of davening, all the scorum are all on the table spread out. And no one thinks, and if someone goes around and picks it up, they'll give it to him. They won't think, okay, he's strapping all the scorum. Let me help him a little bit, put away the scorum. Who is the seichel? So Phil, you know, it's not a... It's the Doris, the Scandal of Doris. In Europe, in the Alta Zeiten, you know, when a person wanted to hire someone for his house, he looked for a poor family
to be Mahanahem. Right.
Because they said, Michelle, Mishikana, Evelkana, Oden last night. So they found a family that had 50
people still do it today.
Child in their house. They paid for the clothes.
People still do it today.
And they sat at the table.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Okay. Let's now. There's another thing I wanted to point out. Af koch masi ha'amdali. Everyone, this is a chazal. Af means pain. Okay. Going back to pasuk tes. Let's go back to pasuk tes. The godal tivi osatim mikol shayil lufnai b'shalim. Af chochmasi amdali. Af means anger, or it means pain. No pain, no gain. He's not saying over here, oh, it's no big deal, right? It was no big deal. I'm the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, and I know. I finished Shas. I was Messiah in Shas. I learned Daf Yomi every single day. Big deal, right? No big deal. No. Shlomo says, Af is an expression of anger, or an expression of pain. Anger means there's this frustration. You think it came easy? Chochmasi amdali, I was able to maintain my chochma only through Af. Being that I was in a situation where I was surrounded by gashmias and by the pursuit of materialism, my wealth, it was an extremely painful experience for me. Af, only with Af, Chochmasi Amdali, did my knowledge remain with me, and that is very true statement. Okay, let's just run through the Targum. What we wouldn't do, then we'll stop. Just a few more Targum. We're going to start in the middle. Give me one moment to find where we're up to here. Okay, a lot of the Targumim, he elaborates about the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, let's see. Let's start from Pasuk Vav. Right, we did Pasuk. Let's do Pasuk Hey again. Maybe we do Pasuk Hey again one more time because he says some interesting things over there. Right, we definitely did Pasuk Dalet. So we're up to Pasuk Hey. Okay, Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey, it says... Avidas liginas shikyon. Okay, you're talking about the gardens. I made ginas shikyon. Now, what does it mean over here, ginas shikyon? It means flowers. Okay, that he's adding that into the pasuk. The pasuk does not say what kind of garden. It just says osisli ganois, gardens. He says ginas shikyon. Shikyon here in this sefer translates it as of vegetables. Vegetables and flowers. Okay. Ufar de sin orchards. Okay, no additional bear. Uzera is tamon komene is, but I planted there all different types of grasses. Minhoin, some of them letzarech mechla, some grasses for consumption, herbs, some herbs for consumption. Uminon letzarech mishtiya, drinking. I guess they would mix this into liquids. Uminon, and some of them letzarech asusa. What?
Herbal tea, okay.
And some for purpose of refuah, healing. He was a doctor. Umino in the tzarech osusa. Three different reasons why I planted grass, or herbs. Eating, drinking, and refuah. Next. V'chol mine ispe busmin. I also planted different types of herbs that produce fragrance. Okay, things that are only for the purpose of besamim. Nitzavis behoin ilone srok. I planted. Nitzavis means I planted in these gardens trees that do not produce fruit. V'chol ilone busmin, trees that produce spices. Okay, in addition to herbs, there's also trees that produce fragrances. They siu livosai. Now I have no idea what this means. Okay, maybe you can explain what this means to me. Where did I get all of these type of trees that produce fragrances? It was brought to my attention by the demons. De esil livosi tilone umazike min hindika. In this sefer, he almost doesn't even translate what this means. That was brought to me by tilone. Tilone means the shade. In the afternoon, when it gets dark, it gets shady, certain demons, they hang out. And these demons, shade them. And maybe that's where it comes from, shade them. And these tilone, when they come around, they bring umazike min hindika. Hindika is the name of a place, some type of part of this world of hindika, whatever, where they hang out. They came to me, Shlomo Melech says, and they told me about all the different types of spices and types of fragrances and things that you can plant. V'chol ilon de ovei peri, I also planted trees which produce fruits. U'sechumei min shur kardu Yishleim, and where did I plant this? From the boundary of the wall of Yerushalayim ad keif maya d'shloch, until the seashore, until the stone. Keif maya means the stone. Keif means a stone of Maya de Shiloach, of the Meha Shiloach. That's where I plant. So he's saying a few things. First of all, he's saying something very interesting. I think what he means is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's alluding to this idea. Maybe I'm wrong, but I want to throw this out. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the command in Ma'aseh Bereishis that there should be trees, it's very clear, Eitz Peri, a tree shall produce fruit. And Chazal learned, Tam Eitz Ketam Pri. It was meant to be that the bark has taste. And for that matter, it was meant to be that every single tree was meant to produce fruit. Something went wrong. Something went wrong where the trees, the bark, did not produce eight sprites, eight osapari, and not every tree followed Hashem's command to produce fruit. And that's what we have, Ilone Sirach. Yeah. So it's very interesting, it's what?
It was considered a rebellion.
A rebellion. Now we all know very well that Shadim, even though we know nothing about Shadim, we do know that the concept of Shadim represents the koyach of tumah, of impurity, which is associated with distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rebellion, sinners have to go to these places where there are shadim. So here it's very interesting that when the Targum focuses on Ilone Sirach, trees that do not produce fruit, and different trees that produce fragrances, but the common denominator is that they're not producing food, he associates them with the demons. The demons are the one who have brought these type of trees to my attention. That's what he says. I planted all of these different types of trees that do not produce, and who told me, who informed me of all the varieties, it was done by the demons. That's what it says. Okay, the next thing I want to point out is, he says here that all of these things were planted outside of Yerushalayim. Mepharshim should pick up upon this because you're not allowed to plant orchards. You're not allowed to plant in Yerushalayim because Yerushalayim is meant for living. It's not meant for agriculture. So therefore, that's why the Targum doesn't say this in the pasuk. He adds this all that Shlomo Melech was not in violation of this halacha. Even this halacha could be would appear to us as a later takana. It was a later enactment which took place much after the life of Shlomo HaMelech. Yet it was in play at the time of the life of Shlomo HaMelech. They did not tolerate people planting gardens and orchards in Yerushalayim. You don't do these things in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is meant to be a place to live, not for agriculture. And that's what it says over here. Where? Minshur kartod Yerushalayim, from the outside of the wall of Yerushalayim, not inside, but at Keith Maya Dishloch, all the way until the area, the region of the where the Neish Shiloach flows. Obviously, he's talking from some river that we're not familiar with. I don't think he's referring to the Mediterranean. He's referring to somewhere. What? But the Neish Shiloach.
called
it's in Yerushalayim.
The pool of Shiloah.
And where is that? Shiloh. It's outside. Right outside Yerushalayim.
North.
Okay, so fine. Okay, fine. Okay, I take it back. Fine. So in other words, but the point is, he planted these things outside of Yerushalayim. Okay, let's finish up. Let's do another pasuk in Targum. I only want to finish the Targum. Pasuk Vav. B'chanis be mashkaya d'maya. Okay, I've tested. Pasuk Vav. B'chanis be mashkaya d'maya. I tested all different types of drinks. Mishkaya d'maya. Aden, which type of liquids, chazela ashka'a ilonaya, are good for trees? Not every type of water is good for trees. No, all the different types of varieties of water. Well, he's saying there are different types of water. Some water has different properties, different chemicals. The aden, which one, chazela ashka'a, is then which water is good for grass, for herbs? Some waters are good for trees, some are good for herbs. Avidas le pirak. Tinin demaya, I made for myself wells or pools. Tin means pools of water. La ashka min hon afilu chorsha, to use them to give water even for thorns and thistles. Afilu chorsha, chorsha means pieces of wood. Piece of wood, the mirabe kesin, which like forest land or swamp land, the mirabe kesin la soka, that is good for firewood. That from this wood will make firewood. So, in other words, every type of growth needs a different type of water. I don't know if today's scientists are familiar with this. Is it so? Every type of water, when you go into the supermarket, bottled water. Who ever heard of bottled water 20 years ago? Did it exist? You go into a supermarket 25 years ago, you can buy bottled water?
You could, if you went to Eretz Yisrael, anywhere's farm, you could get. But with what it is today, I've never had soda in my life. I've only drank water. And I had whenever I went, I had to buy it.
But bottled water. But in America, who ever heard of bottled water in America 25 years ago? It didn't exist.
Perrier and Voss,
New Jersey.
Okay, but today, you walk into a supermarket, and there's a whole wall of all different types of bottled water. And I'm not into this, but supposedly they all taste different. Is that correct? They all taste different. What?
Tap water.
What? I find good. Tap water is the best. I know. I think the tap
city
has delicious tap water.
Jersey or even Muncie.
Long Island.
It's hard water.
Okay, but water tastes. So here it's saying something fascinating. Shlomo HaMelech. This is what it says in the Targ, not in the pasuk. Shlomo HaMelech said, "I've done scientific experiments with the water, and I've discovered that certain types of water don't just taste different, they are better for cultivating different types of trees. Different types, some are good for this tree, some are good for these herbs, some are good for moss, some are good. You want to produce firewood, you got to use the right water to produce a high quality firewood." That's what it says.
You know, it must be something in the water.
Yeah, I mean, Shlomo HaMelech was way ahead of his time. The Targum is saying these things. I mean, you go study, go. They don't. I don't think scientists appreciated these things. Probably not until I don't know, the 16th century, 15th century. They really appreciated these things. That is different. The different chemicals in water that have different qualities.
It's the amount.
No, he's saying different types.
The whole terraced agriculture.
Yeah.
Where they were able to get enough water to grow the trees, even though it was an area there was no water. They measured it out and they knew how to make terraces so that they were able to grow. There was a chachma.
The irrigation you're talking about.
Yeah, how to save the rain. Figured it out, you know.
All right, it's very late, so you know we're going to stop. I thought we'd be able to finish. I have three more targumim, Zayin Ches Tes. So to remind me tomorrow that we don't skip these three targumim, Zayin Ches and Tes. All right, let's stop here. I have here two handouts for today. Yeah, these are new. Every day you're going to have new. Let me just make sure. I ain't limited time right now.
Is that from the Gemara?
Yes, the back of the Gemara. One second. This is from... I am... Yes. Not today's daf. It's a little not today's daf.
Dennis?
Hey, Phil, yes.
now my sister sent him to a Catholic home.
Is that the best place, though, as far as the treatment goes?
He's in a like a room.
Okay, here's one page, and here is the other page. I am Voss.
Page
okay.
One
and page one and page two.
Thank you for your concern. I appreciate you asking.
The diabetes is getting worse. It's a horrible disease.
I have it too.
Yeah,
but it didn't catch up to him until he's in his late 80s.
Oh. Yeah, my father had her when he was in his 70s or something.
Yeah. What do you have? What do you have?
Diabetes.
No, I'm talking about the complications. He's had it for many, many years. He's been on insulin for, I think, over 20 years. Since in the 60s, I think he's been on insulin. Baruch Hashem, I'm not on insulin, but I'm taking supplements to lower my blood sugar. Natural supplements.
Are you?
Yeah. Cinnamon, vanadium. I'm talking about cinnamon tablets. Yes, cinnamon and fenugreek. All these natural supplements lower blood sugar.
Cinnamon
capsules. Yeah. It's made by Maxio.
He wrote it in.
That's my doctor.
Are you willing to entertain? Are you willing to entertain?
Possibly also regular medications.
I can have this. You ever see it?
Sorotskin, yeah, I know this. Yeah.
You know the safer?
I know. I don't. This particular one, I don't know.
Huh?
This particular one, I don't
you
know.
This.
Easy to say.
Look at this. These two lines. We will see it when you open it. And then I found this. Mitzvah.
Oh, Meir Brachas.
Yeah, and he goes into the whole thing. I don't know who wrote it. It doesn't say. I thought I was looking for it, but I found it after you. I knew I had to. Would I look through this? This you can have.
What, I could have to keep
it?
From tomorrow.
No, you can keep it.
I can keep it? You don't need it?
What I borrowed you was the Kaddish on the...
I give it back to you?
I don't think so. I'll write something. This you want to look at?
Ice cream.
Oh, no. No, I'm going to lose it.
Mayor, come here. I'm going to get you.
What do we have to?
Yeah, Mayor. That's the problem. Yeah, Gimmo.
Maybe.
What do we have? What else do we have? These also hand out?
No. This is not.
Oh, this is ours?
Stevia. Stevia is natural. It's called sea.
Where are you going?
I'm going to take this out. It's in the way, this chair.